Ramsey TV.
Am I dreaming, or didn't I see a phrase somewhere in the Concordant version? Somebody help me here. About Paul's vast struggle? I mean, sometimes you think you have seen things and you know things, but you tell yourself that for so long you're not sure if you really know it. It seems like for decades I've had this phrase, vast struggle. Paul called his work a vast struggle. So I'm looking in a Concordant version. I mean, reading this version since 1982, I'm looking in the Concordant version in the dictionary and back, struggle, and it says, see contend, which really upset me, ladies and gentlemen. Why would I have to go see the word contend when I'm looking for the word struggle? Too often, I think the Concordant version uses alternate terms for a single Greek word, although, to their great credit, they use synonyms. That's very helpful, and not antonyms like the King James version, translating one word eternity and in other places time. This is Martin Zender. Welcome. I'm a little frustrated. Then I look up the word vast. I know I've seen this first. Somebody help me. Where is it? I look up the word vast in the Concordant dictionary. I see many. Why do I have to turn to another page and see many? Or could it be that the phrase vast struggle does not appear anywhere in the Concordant literal New Testament? Somebody help me here. Somebody find it. But anyway, even if this phrase that was never written by Paul, I'm sure somewhere he called his work something like hard, something like really difficult, something like an uphill battle, something like, a vast struggle. And I can relate to that. And I know that you can too. But I am sure of this, that there is no value to anything apart from a struggle. No value. In fact, a many struggle or a vast struggle, see many. Oh, that always irritates me. I remember, I bicycled for years, and I remember the day when I no longer looked at a hill as an enemy. It was a weird transformation. I would dread hills. You're coasting along, then you look up and you see this monstrous. I mean, I'm talking about, I've bicycled over the Rocky Mountains, over the Catskills, over the Appalachians, and we're talking big time hills. The Continental Divide, big time hill. But something happened where I looked at it as communion with grit, a private world. This is my definition of struggle that I'm struggling with as I speak here. Struggle, a private world of formidable enterprise in which and during which the individual so involved learns of him or herself at the blessed exclusion of all else. In a struggle, the rest of the world disappears. One then is forced to go internal. You can't find it on a cell phone. You got to think about it. You got to go internal in order to fight or survive or even prosper during the struggle. God gives us struggles. They're all personal. They're individual. And again, I'll come back to this again and again. There's nothing of value apart from a struggle. The hills became my friends. I looked at them as a time of private contemplation. And the key, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this from years of endurance activities. The key to surviving and even thriving in a struggle is patience, is slowness, is not contending with it, but accepting it. Acceptance is the key to success. I couldn't avoid hills, inclines, 10% grades. I couldn't avoid it. So I had to make friends with it. And seeing a hill, it almost gave me this wonderful feeling of giving up. Same with headwinds. I got to tell you this. Yeah, same with headwinds. You can't beat a headwind. Not even airliners can beat a headwind. A 777, 787, whatever the hell they have now. You can't beat a headwind. The headwind's always going to beat you. That's why it takes longer to fly east to west than it does west to east here in the United States, because the prevailing winds at 35,000 feet go west to east. Boom, flying along. Your airspeed might be the same, but your ground speed is much faster. You can't beat it. So you have to make friends with it. And in order to do that, you have to change your entire mindset from one of competing to one of enduring. And endurance is very personal, very private. And I want you to begin thinking of it as a private time because it's so personal. No one else can go through the struggle you're going through. It's personal, and you must go inside of yourself. You talk to God, talk to yourself. It's a time when you can block out the rest of the world. And I must say, physical struggles are much easier than mental struggles. I'll leave it at that. But you can apply the truths learned with physical struggles to mental struggles. I think part of the comfort is knowing that everybody's going through it. The comfort is knowing that no one can beat a headwind. And that no one can beat, as I said yesterday, being subjected to this realm of vanity. So there is a struggle already. The basic struggle you enter into when you're born is being subject to vanity, to uselessness, to this gerbil wheel of futility. And you have to make friends with it in a way. Helpful is knowing that it's temporary. But the key is really slowing down. You have to slow everything down. And so I began to look at those hills as a rest period. Not even kidding you. A rest period. Because when you're on the flats, you think, oh, I can go faster maybe. You know, maybe I should increase my cadence. Maybe I should notch it up a gear. But when you see this hill, you know that if I attack this thing, I'm going to die. I mean, you can attack a hill once, but if you're on a 3,364.2-mile journey, you don't attack hills, okay? You just have to slow down, take your time, and it became a time where I can just knock the gears back. In the bicycling world, they have these gears, large gears, in the freewheel in the back called a granny gear. It's such a spin. There's hardly any tension in it. You could practically climb a vertical wall. So you just knock it back, and you just patiently spin up the thing. There's no way you can maintain your average speed. No way. You've got to give up on that. Or what I like to do is actually put it in a high gear, and instead of doing 80 RPMs, let's say, I would drop it down to 30 and just like, stand on the pedals in a low gear and just like, ta, 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 ta. It's repetitive, nose to the grindstone endurance. But man, if you can look at struggles as, if you can make friends with them, I was going to say welcome them, that's a little too much. Make friends with it. See it as a time of introspection. When you get sick, it's a terrible thing. Nobody wants to get sick. But sometimes getting sick is the only way that you ever, the only time that you ever slow down. And it's a time to, isn't it, recharge. It's a time for introspection, for contemplation. When I was a kid, homesick from school, which is the most glorious times ever. Think of this. Some of my best memories of my childhood were being sick. Because my mom had this little black and white TV about as big as a bread box, and it was on a rolling stand. She would roll it into my room, and I would watch I Love Lucy. I would watch The Dating Game. I would watch Petticoat Junction. I mean, being sick was great. I had my mom's full attention. She practically waited on me hand and foot, and just, it was a, weirdly, it was a good time. And I think the key is, there are many keys I've been putting out here. You're going to have to buy a key ring by the time I'm done here, I guess, is, well, let's review. Slow down. You're not going to beat it. Okay, this trial just might beat you. This struggle might beat you. So just, you're only human. Remember that phrase I used last week? Gets you out of a lot of problems. And gives you, it's a great excuse before God. It's a great excuse. I recommend it constantly. I'm only human. God would have to agree. Yeah, you got a point there. Not only that, sir. Not only that. But I'm a mortal human. I'm dying. I'm dying down here. Another good point. And so you're not going to beat it. But you can get through it. And getting through it is actually beating it. See, you're beating it through the back door. You're not beating it overtly. You're not beating it on the spot, but you're getting through it. So the hill tries to chew me up, and I give up on it and just slow down and realize I'm not going to get anywhere fast. And the hill thinks it's winning. I'm beating the stupid bicyclist. But it's not, because in the end, while it's trying to crush me, I eventually get over it, and I escape its clutches, and it wonders, what happened? What happened? I had that guy. Okay, you're gonna get through it. But you have to slow down one day at a time. You have to be forced to go inside yourself to think about who you are, who God is, why you're here. And if Paul calls back to Paul, his work, and I think of this often with my work, it is truly a vast struggle. And nothing worthwhile is easy. So anyway, yeah, going over all those hills and getting to the other coast, getting to the Atlantic coast from the Pacific coast, felt fantastic. It was good, but it wouldn't have been as good without the struggle. Driving across the United States in a car would not have been the satisfaction of doing it on a bicycle. So there is very much reward in the struggle and getting through the struggles. Anyone who's run a race, any kind of race, or even a mother who's given birth, it's a vast struggle. But the other end of it, there's nothing like the reward and the peace and the relief. And you can't have that reward, that peace, and that relief without the struggle. Struggles are essential. You will rarely find yourself without struggle. God gives you a break once in a while, you know, just to give you a moment of peace. I'm talking about a moment of peace. And then, boom, you know how it is, back in another struggle. A different one, but, and sometimes we have struggles that just last, the same struggle goes on and on and on. And Paul, the great saint, the great apostle Paul, wasn't floating through this life. Ladies and gentlemen, he called his work a vast struggle. I swear he did somewhere. Somebody tell me the verse. Somebody tell me I'm not losing my mind. Okay? And man, I can relate to that. Setting up this show is a struggle. Writing is a struggle. Certainly the technology that's needed to get this show to you is a vast struggle. Fatigue, fighting fatigue is a struggle. Trying to take care of your body at the same time while you're doing your work, it's a struggle. It's all a vast struggle. Vast. But at the other end of it lies a relief and a peace and a satisfaction that will be so rich and beautiful and lasting that it will make the struggle, in hindsight, look like a mere inconvenience. Because in God's amazing alchemy, the things he is producing through these negative parts of the equations, the struggle, the sin, the mortality, the frustration, the vanity, the things he's producing at the other end of these things far outweigh, like the verse I gave you yesterday, the trials of this world, the pains of this world, the struggles of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory. So the payoff is always way out of proportion to the investment. And right now we're going through an investment of trials, and God is doing it for you, not to you. So make peace with it, because you're not going to, in a sense, you're not going to beat it. but getting through it is beating it in a backhanded way. Secondly, go slow. You're not going to maintain your normal speed in life. You're not going to be pirouetting like a ballerina through your struggle. You're not going to be smiling for the cameras. You might be crying. You might be screaming at God. You might be screaming at God. That's okay. You're going through it, aren't you? Nobody said you had to go through it pretty. Have you ever seen the face of marathoners in the last 5 miles of a marathon? Not pretty. You ever seen the face of somebody trying to lift world record weight over their head? Not pretty. Look at the faces. But then look at the exaltation after the lift, after the race. That's all it. That's it. You got to go through it. You're not going to beat it. Make friends with it in that way. Let it be a time of introspection for you. Let your sickness, let your times of insomnia. Many of you can't sleep at night. I get it. Use that time to commune with God. Use the darkness and the silence and knowing the rest of the world is asleep. Use that, if you can, as a time of peace, of communion with your Creator. And lastly of all, know for a certainty, because this is God's big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut, that the outcome of these things, the other end of these things, the other side of that mountain, is a vista of peace and lack of struggle and glory that could never have been possible without the struggle. So knowing that is your future, I would think, and I hope it would be easier then, to make the struggle your friend now.